Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Cammie McCormick. Once again, travel headaches for those flying. This time, it was an FAA computer glitch that grounded flights across the country. It's a system which lists potential adverse impacts on flights, and pilots are required to check it. It crashed overnight. Now that it's coming back online, there are some very relieved travelers out there. Jonathan O'Brien of WSB has more from Atlanta.
The sound of planes taking off again is probably music to the ears of travelers and airport workers here at Hartsfield-Jackson. The news of the nationwide ordered ground stop surprised some passengers.
And I didn't know until I got here.
Raymond tells me his flight to Cleveland is delayed an hour and 40 minutes. Gloria, a traveler from Knoxville, says her flight was not affected, but she was worried.
We just heard about what happened on the way to the airport, and we were like, oh no, let's just check our stuff and make sure we're not delayed going to Jamaica.
Jonathan O'Brien for CBS News, Atlanta.
Bad weather in California just won't let up. More storms are in the forecast after waves have caused flooding and rock slides. Governor Gavin Newsom.
Dries are getting a lot drier the last 3 years, and the wets are getting a lot wetter. This weather whiplash is that new reality.
And on climate change, there's worrisome news about our oceans. Here's correspondent Vicky Barker.
The world's oceans reached their hottest temperatures ever recorded in 2022. And that matters because our oceans absorb more than 90% of the excess heat trapped by greenhouse gas emissions. So their condition is considered a barometer for human-linked global warming. And since sea surface temperatures help drive extreme weather, these new readings suggest we're in for even more intense storms, floods, and hurricanes.
The Supreme Court will allow New York to continue enforcing a new gun law banning weapons from sensitive places while an appeals court weighs the case. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum tells us the new law was passed after the high court threw out the state's ban on carrying concealed weapons without a permit.
The Supreme Court invalidated New York's 100-year-old gun law. The court ruled, however, that some restrictions might still apply, like prohibiting guns in bars, subways, schools, and stadiums. It is that new law that is now being appealed and may make it to the Supreme Court.
The spring semester begins today at the University of Idaho, where four students were stabbed to death in their off-campus home back in November. Security's been increased for returning students. Dean of Students, Blaine Eichholz.
We've increased the relationship with the Latow County Sheriff's Office, so they're going to have a presence on campus. We've also hired additional campus security officers, and we're still in very close partnership with the Moscow Police Department.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials up 96 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Two courts have ruled a northern Wisconsin sheriff's department conducted an illegal search of a detective's Dropbox account. Back in 2017, Stephen Bowers was charged with two felony counts of misconduct in public office. He reportedly shared the files with producers of a true crime TV show. The courts say Bowers had a right to privacy since the Dropbox account was private and that Taylor County deputies did not have a right to search without a warrant. The weather was bad enough overnight to close schools and other services in and around Chippewa Falls and the surrounding area today. Freezing rain and snow made for a slippery glaze on roads this morning. Driving is expected to be tricky all day. In sports, Michigan State rallied to beat the Badgers last night. Tonight, the Bucks are at Atlanta and Marquette hosts UConn. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK Radio.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Thank you for joining us today during your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Shoot us a text, give us a call. And today is, and I think the whole month is, National Human Trafficking Awareness Month. Not the awareness part is important in that phrase because we're not celebrating just the act of it. We're trying to spread awareness of it. And so here to talk more about human trafficking and maybe debunk some myths and misconceptions and what the average person thinks of when they hear that term is Rachel Harrison, who is the advocacy coordinator at Fight to End Exploitation, where so she handles everything from providing support to victims and survivors of human trafficking, but then also that comes through the organization. And so welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So for people who are unfamiliar with the organization, mm-hmm. it's based in Wisconsin.
Yes.
And which might surprise some people because mm-hmm. I think often people think of this as something that happens other places and not how often it's happening right in our own backyard. So mm-hmm. just to kick off, tell me a little bit more about what the organization does.
Yeah. So Fight to End Exploitation, we've been around since 2013. We're based out of Racine, Wisconsin, but we handle mostly southeastern Wisconsin, but we also work with other organizations throughout the state. And our goals are prevention, intervention, and restoration. So however we can do that, part of that is drawing awareness, which is what I'm doing right now with, you know, speaking and teaching people and getting the conversation on human trafficking in the forefront. And then we also assist law enforcement and other community leaders and organizations with, you know, victim and survivor support. So that can look a little bit different depending on a case-by-case basis. And then we also do whatever we can to help those victims, you know, become a survivor. And then ultimately our goal is to have them thrive and become a thriver.
And so with that, because I think, like I said, I think some people, when they think of human trafficking, they think of Taken.
Yes.
They think of people being kidnapped against their will and chained up to mm-hmm. a bedpost.
Yes.
And in a foreign country. Typically, yep. I think in movies, it's usually like Eastern Europe.
Yep.
Or Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, that is not the case. Well, I mean, certainly it can be the case. But
yes.
Overwhelmingly, why a group in Racine, Wisconsin exists is because it actually happens here.
Yep.
And so what are some of, in that, what are some of the myths or some of the stats that you can give as far as how prevalent it is right here?
Yeah, that is that's a huge issue that we're dealing with, is just a lot of the misconceptions. And people think it's the watch out for the white vans. People are going to kidnap you. Every few months, there's a new rumor going around on social media, like watch out for zip ties on, you know, your car or flowers being placed somewhere. It's interesting how, you know, things evolve. And I feel especially through the pandemic when people are turning more online that rumors have, you know, we had the Wayfair rumor that was a couple years ago where people were being kidnapped and trafficked through the Wayfair website. It's just, it's, it's insane how, you know, rumors can just spread so fast. And then that does so much damage for the real victims and survivors, because the real, you know, victims and survivors aren't being seen because people are, you know, worried about, you know, being kidnapped and this and that. And yes, those cases do happen, but they're very rare. Like Wisconsin, we have 72 counties in the state, and we have had human trafficking cases in all 72 counties. And that is the reality of it. And it's, you know, it's the hardest part about human trafficking right now with awareness is getting people to understand the realities of it. And as I talk through this, it's probably going to be, you know, it's a lot of information coming at everybody. So a lot of people, you know, are confused. And that's why we have a whole month. January is dedicated to, you know, Human Trafficking Prevention Month. And today is the actual Human Trafficking Awareness Day. And so I guess if you want to, I can get into a little bit of what
it is. I mean, we got a whole half hour here, so let's get into it.
Perfect. So so as the advocacy coordinator, I mostly work with victims of sex trafficking. And
because I think that's an important distinction, because mm-hmm. human trafficking can be for more than just sex work. It's,
yes.
It's also for labor
yes.
in a lot of situations. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, but plenty of situations.
Definitely. And we do have labor trafficking in Wisconsin as well. It's just right now the majority of the victims that I work with are sex trafficking, just because, I mean, look at our economy right now. It's really hard for people to survive. And the people who are most vulnerable have become even more vulnerable during this pandemic. And because of that vulnerability that's out there, more traffickers are exploiting that. And we will get into a little bit of the laws, too. And this is evolving so much faster than the laws can evolve with it. And same with resources. The hardest part with our organization is, you know, finding support. And COVID, the pandemic, ruined a lot of, you know, support, because trying to find housing for people, trying to find, you know, job security, that's all, it's hard enough for, you know, a stable person right now to survive. And think of, you know, the people who, you know, once you kind of get left behind, it's really hard for them to, you know, come to the surface. And so that's what we're really focused on, is helping prevent those vulnerabilities and meeting whatever those needs for the victims that we support.
And I think it's important to the distinction of what you're saying as far as vulnerable people, because it's often what I understand is people get in a situation where, and it's not unlike some of the stories you hear with like domestic abuse,
mm-hmm.
where it's you're not chained up to a bedpost. You are emotionally, mentally, psychologically, how would I ever leave?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so you can say more about that, of like what the tendencies are, why people can find themselves in these situations. And it's not because they're chained up that mm-hmm. they can't leave. It's because of all of the, how would I survive without this?
Exactly. Yeah. The most common type for, you know, sex trafficking is to have a relationship with the, you know, the victim and the trafficker. And that, you know, we call it trauma bonding. And that kind of mirrors the domestic violence cycle, where, you know, if somebody was abused the first instance, you know, obviously people would leave, but it never really starts off that way. There's always that initial interaction. There's that grooming process, which is basically, you know, having a relationship with somebody. And those are often the most difficult cases to work with, just because a lot of the victims don't even see themselves as victims. They see, you know, their trafficker or exploiter is somebody they're in a relationship with, or they perceive to be in a relationship with, or it could be their own family members. Some family, you know, there's familial trafficking, which is a big part of trafficking that a lot of people don't realize and don't understand. Some people, it's just, you know, what they were born into. So you see a lot of victims, you know, they come from broken homes, or, you know, families with substance abuse. Maybe they're in and out of the foster care system, or, you know, there's drug issues in the family, or a lot of, you know, victims have been sexually assaulted and, you know, as kids. And that, you know, when you're exposed to that and you're, you know, you're dealing with that as you grow up, that's just a normal way of life. And that's the most heartbreaking thing, is to meet somebody who is young and they don't even recognize themselves as a victim, just because that's their livelihood and what they're, you know, come to be normal in their family. And it's really sad. And so you have the familial aspect of it. And then you'll have, you know, we call them Romeo pimps or Romeo traffickers.
Is this the same thing as like the lover boy thing?
Yes.
That's now become known mm-hmm. because of Andrew Tate.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There's different, you know, phrases for that, but it's all the same concept, is you know, it's not the violent, it's not being chained up, it's not the physical aspect of it. You know, that does happen in some cases, but a lot of it is just the emotional and mental component, or these people are meeting needs. You know, if you have somebody who is homeless or, you know, doesn't have a support structure, traffickers, they, you know, they prey upon that and they, you know, meet those needs. We've had victims where, you know, all it took is somebody who bought them a meal because they were hungry. Mm-hmm. And that is the gateway into that. And a lot of it is online as well. It's, you know, you don't always have to be concerned about, you know, your kids on the street, which obviously, yes, you should be, but you should be just as concerned, if not more, about who your child is talking to online, because, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all these apps, social media, it's like there's so many out there. And with how everything's evolving with virtual reality and everything, like, traffickers are, you know, in those same areas. And it's not, that's also another misconception too, is people think that this happens on the dark web. And yes, there is that component of that as well. But this is like the forward facing internet, to where we could all log on. And there are websites right now where I could pull up and I could, you know, show you how to order a victim. And it's heartbreaking. It really is.
Something that I was, we were just talking about in a segment past about governments wanting to ban TikTok for its, you know, because of the China influence. Mm-hmm. Are there, you know, this, if there's same things happening on, we were talking about the American companies, those same things happening here on Facebook and Instagram and whatnot. Legislation, we're seeing like aggressive legislation being to regulate those companies, mm-hmm, to rectify those measures and help protect anybody who might be on those social media platforms. Are there aggressive measures as they're aggressively pursuing TikTok? Are they trying to work hard to make those spaces safer for people?
Yes, that is definitely a part of that too. And the hard part is just there's so many areas that we need to evolve in, and people are, you know, not talking about it like they should. They're focusing on the aspect of it that is the rare part of it, you know, being chained up or what have you. But yeah, social media, there are organizations out there, like the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They do great campaigns to help, you know, try to keep your children safe online. And there are a lot of other organizations doing that. But it's just, we kind of get buried with all the other, you know, issues. You know, every single day, you know, you log online or you read the news, and it's another crazy story. And there's a lot going on. And so when we have support, a lot of, like, we work a lot with law enforcement, and which is an amazing part of it, because we're not an investigative agency. We have to get referrals from law enforcement or other legitimate community partners. But sometimes, you know, when funding gets cut or whatever, you know, what are those sources that are getting cut? A lot of them are, you know, sources like this, where you think that, you know, we could be doing so much, and unfortunately we just don't have the resources out there. So it's such a very gray area. There's so many layers involved with it. It's not just human trafficking. It also, you know, is the drug epidemic and homelessness and job security and lack of education and resources. There's so much that intertwine. And until we start having those conversations to recognize human trafficking in those realms as well, I feel like we're going to keep, you know, go two steps forward, five steps back.
Yeah. We're talking to Rachel Harrison, who is the advocacy coordinator at Fight to End Exploitation. And one thing that doesn't feel like a gray area to me is the Safe Harbor Bill.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that and where it stands in the Wisconsin State Legislature when we come back. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
The radio show your mother warned you about.
actual tyranny of a dictator. Dictator's going to dictate Putin. And what did Trump do? Trump kneeled to the man. Embarrassing Republicans. And you're still with the guy? This is your front runner in 2024? You've been smoking some of Mike Lindell's crack. What are you thinking?
They're the GCCCP. We are the devil's advocates.
Live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 45. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tonight, lows around 33. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, highs level off around 36. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Friday, with daytime highs approaching 30. 34 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Rachel Harrison, who is the advocacy coordinator at Fight to End Exploitation, because it is National Human Trafficking Awareness Day and National Human Trafficking Awareness Month. And Greg, you said you had asked a question at the break that I wanted to give you a chance to ask on air.
Cool. So when you see politicians and other people using the term trafficking to further an effort or a piece of legislation or whatever that takes away from the work you do or presents trafficking in a light that's like, you don't understand actually what trafficking is. How does that impede upon the work you do? And how do you work to clarify that message and make sure people actually know your mission?
Yes, that is another big issue that we're dealing with. And that also kind of ties into dispelling the myths and the rumors that are out there. Because, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, people, when they talk about trafficking in the media and politicians, everybody is, you know, human trafficking, we have to rescue, we have to save, we have to do this or that. And they try to politicize it to where, you know, that obviously they want to you know, make an impact into to help. But by creating this fear that just, you know, keeps perpetuating the misconceptions, people don't know really what human trafficking is. And as organizations, we have to do so much more to work towards dispelling those myths. And a lot of that, especially the last couple of years, you know, there's been a lot of human trafficking in regards to QAnon and all of that, which we won't get into today. But that is, we've had so many reports. The National Human Trafficking Hotline has been flooded with calls about, you know, this or that, what they've heard online. And that really just does such a disservice to really helping those who are impacted by trafficking. And so I like to always, you know, you listen to the victims and survivors. They're the ones that are experts in their own sense, and they're the ones that can tell their own stories. And so it is really frustrating when the media kind of spins things in a negative light to where it scares people, and then they start paying attention to something else. And so it just, yeah, it perpetuates those myths. So that's a very frustrating part of it as well.
Rachel, I just find it so interesting that in the almost half hour that we've been having this discussion, not once have we talked about one of the biggest issues, which are the customers.
Yes, yes, that is. Oh, we could do a 5-hour long podcast and still only scratch the surface. But that is, yeah, it's a very supply and demand issue. Without the demand for it, there, you know, there wouldn't be the supply. And so if you look at human trafficking, you know, obviously we have the drug trade, we have the weapons trade. Human trafficking is right now, we have it estimated to be the second most profitable illegal trade out there, because when you sell drugs, the drugs are gone. You have to get more drugs to sell. A human you can reuse and exploit over and over. And that is just, it's horrifying to put it in those perspectives, but it is. And part of that too is, you know, just look at our culture. It's so fueled with, you know, sex. And especially right now, we have kids that are growing up wanting to be stars on OnlyFans and influencers. And it's just been such a scary shift towards normalizing that. And that is a huge issue as well. But there is that demand for it, which is really disgusting. And the media likes to say, they call them Johns, which I hate that word. They're abusers. They're exploiters. They are disgusting people. But there are those people that want to have sex with people who, you know, minors, or who they're taking advantage of people in a certain situation. And so that's a very important part of it as well. And it's very sad.
So we're not going to be able to get into this too in depth because we have to wrap it up. But speaking of minors, mm-hmm. last year, for at least the second time, the Safe Harbor Bill had a little bit more progress in the Wisconsin state legislature, because in Wisconsin, and correct me if I have this wrong, because it breaks my brain.
Yes.
In Wisconsin, you cannot have sex with a minor. Mm-hmm, they are not able to give consent.
Correct.
But if there is money involved, it's solicitation for the abuser, and it's prostitution.
Yes.
They get convicted. The minor gets prosecuted for prostitution. And yet they're underage, so how are they giving consent to prostitute?
Yes.
And now that we have a new legislature, mm-hmm. that progress, I understand, has to start over.
Yes.
And it breaks mm-hmm. my brain that people think that this is how you protect young people.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, to put it politely, it's infuriating. It really is, because kids cannot give consent. If you're under the age of 18, you cannot consent to sex. But right now, since we have not passed the Safe Harbor Bill, I think this is, yes, two or three times. It's been like 6 or 7 years. And every time that it gets a little more support, but then it doesn't pass. And I think a huge part of that is just people and our politicians, they don't understand it. Some of them think that we're trying to legalize, you know, child prostitution, which is, you know, the complete opposite of what that is trying to do. And it's very frustrating. But that's part of, you know, what I said before, is this is evolving faster than our laws can keep up with, because this is 6-7 years of trying to something that seems such a no-brainer, and it's a bipartisan issue. How is it not being passed? But yet it hasn't. And yeah, it's sad, because then that you have kids and victims that don't want to report because they're scared. And that's a tactic that the traffickers use. Be like, okay, well, you can go ahead and tell people, but you're going to get arrested. You're going to get in trouble because it's illegal. And that's a very, you know, sad reality. And, you know, in Racine, we work a lot with law enforcement. And so we have, you know, good relationship with that. So we try to, you know, work with that, and we train law enforcement so that they don't, you know, arrest and prosecute. But we can't train everybody. And so it's kind of sometimes based on the discretion of the law enforcement officer or the district attorney's office or whatever. And it's one of those things where it seems like a no-brainer, but yet we have to go back to the beginning.
So in the last minute that we have, mm-hmm. what can anyone who's listening right now do to either learn more or support or try to be a little bit more involved in awareness about this?
Yes. Oh, there's a lot. I'll spew a few really quickly. a lot of it, stop watching porn. A lot of porn is very exploitive, and people don't realize that. Don't buy anybody for sex, because even if you think somebody is doing it willingly, they could be doing it for a survival mechanism, and that might not be full consent on their part. Be very, aware of your child online and who they're talking to. Be a conscious consumer. I know we didn't really get into labor trafficking because of time, but just, you know, fast fashion. A lot of times, if you're, you know, supporting companies that use sweatshops.
I gotta cut you off. Yes. I'm so sorry. Okay. This, Rachel Harrison is the advocacy coordinator at the Fight to End Exploitation. We will link everything in today.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. An FAA computer glitch grounded thousands of flights today, affecting hundreds of thousands of passengers.
My flight was supposed to be at 8:30 this morning, and I am now on a flight for 2:30.
More storms in the forecast for California. Here's our Carter Evans.
Across California, crews are working to restore access to highways and roads cut off by landslides. Strong winds knocked out power to more than 160,000 customers.
Former Vice President Mike Pence weighed in today on classified documents found at a former office of President Biden. Here with CBS's Robert Costa.
Do you approve of how the Justice Department has handled this matter so far?
No, I don't approve how the Justice Department has handled this matter, and I don't approve how they handled the matter of classified documents found at Mar-a-Lago.
On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrials up 116 points. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. Wisconsin needs more housing if the working age population is to grow. Current estimates show over 140,000 more housing units are needed by 2030. The number of new houses built in Wisconsin has been declining, with about 260,000 built in the 90s compared to 150,000 in the last decade. Wisconsin County's Association Director Dale Knapp tells WisPolitics, single-family homes are needed if we want to attract workers to Wisconsin. Knapp says high interest rates and a recent slowdown in new construction has added to the problem. Cigarette sales significantly down in Wisconsin over the last 20 years. A Wisconsin Policy Forum report shows sales dropped from 420 million packs of cigarettes sold in 2001 to just under 193 million last year. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
...27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever, just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
With Kristen Bry, we got Jane Matinair on the board, and Greg Bach is here because it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
And I didn't know how well this was going to transition, but having just talked to Rachel Harrison from Fight to End Exploitation about trying to spread awareness about human trafficking, and one of the sentiments being the power of social media as a grooming tool. And that was one of the questions. We probably could have had her for an hour. There were so many different ways to take the conversation. But in the overused term of grooming in an inappropriate, and when I say inappropriate, I mean inaccurate way over the last couple of years, there is actual grooming that happens in chat rooms. Well, I mean, I think it's, I don't even know if it's chat rooms. It was chat rooms like when it was like AOL. When
I'm
you
sorry,
and I
don't laugh at that, but that was such a...
But you know what I mean? It was like, it was chat rooms it was AOL, at one point. Oh, and now it's DMs on Instagram.
And,
it's
and
DMs
servers,
on Facebook.
And servers.
Yeah, and so the story that we were going to talk about next, while it's not specific to human trafficking, it is specific to social media in that, you know, I think we've had a lot of conversations around, I mean, because I'm on social media a lot. So I feel like one of the common themes of this show is we talk about what's either happening online, whether it's trending, but also the impact that this has on our mental health. And there's been lots of talk and studies and stuff on mental health, the impact of social media on children's mental health. But now the Seattle School District has filed a 91-page lawsuit against the major social media outlets, which I think is fascinating. And so, Greg, what were your kind of like takeaways as far as first reading this? I have to get the article back up to tell more of the details of it.
My takeaway is I was really split on it.
Interesting.
Because while I am, don't let it be confused here, folks. I'm all about children's rights, advocating for children, their health and safety. But I'm wondering how much can be done with a lawsuit like this, especially in light, I mean, we'll go in the details as far as how they're protected, how the big companies are protected from this sort of liability. But I mean, it the school district, can they do certain things? Can they take the kids' phones and say, like, okay, you kids can have phones, but at the beginning of the day, you got to put them in these bags. We make people put them in for concerts. You'll get them back at the end of the day so you can contact your parents. Mm-hmm. If you need to contact someone during the day, you can go to the office and make a phone call. Like, it's much deeper. It's much more nuanced. But my immediate thing was, what can the schools do right now to keep maybe phones out of their hands? Because beyond school in that area, they're powerless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the kids are looking at their phone at home, if they're looking at their phone with their friends, that's a different discussion. Like, how involved are the parents? And I'm not like placing blame, but this seems, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. This seems such more nuanced of a discussion that a 91-page lawsuit against tech companies, I don't know if it will solve the problem, because we're talking about mental health here.
Well, and I don't, to a certain extent, so the Seattle Public School alleges that the very design of these platforms, which seek to maximize the amount of time users spend on them, is flawed and dangerous, particularly to kids. And they argue that the longer people stay on social media, the more ads those companies sell, and thus the more money they stand to make. And so there's some of the features, whether it's push notifications, and they're designed to draw users in. And I know this as an adult, right?
Yeah.
This is, and I didn't have social media when I was a teenager. Like, I had, as I said, I had my Nokia phone with Snake on it. That was the about the extent that I had.
Wow, brag.
You didn't have.
No.
Well, no, because you were old enough that you didn't even have a phone in high school.
We had a cell phone. We had a car phone first.
Was it in a bag?
Shut up.
And I had the same one. I asked that out of relatability.
Okay, I thought you were just calling me old. We had the car phone that went in the car wherever we drove. So the person who was driving got the car phone, and then we had a beeper. Not to bring it down, when my dad got ill, we had a beeper. So in that case, someone happened, we can contact the family member, and then we got a cell phone. What I'm trying to say is, it was all for emergencies only. If you dare use it for anything other than emergency only, you will pay a price, mister. Sorry, go on.
This is not, it's like long distance phone calls.
Collect
used
calls.
To be.
I'm
like,
yeah.
who are you talking to?
Yeah, like,
how
like,
much is this costing
when
me?
They would be like, 1-900-COLLECT. I'm like, who's calling Collect? I mean, seriously, you got to be dying to call Collect.
No, but the trick with Collect was you, but then when
hi,
it
this
said,
is Greg, get home to the hospital.
Come pick me up right now.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get picked up. So part of this is the school system says it doesn't have the resources to manage a crisis that is being made worse by social media. And so that's what I don't understand, the legality of this, of what standing they have to pursue this, and even what they are looking to get from it. And in reality, I don't know how far this goes, because tech companies have
protection,
an enormous legal shield and an army of lawyers.
Yep.
So I don't know where this will go, but I feel like it's interesting that there is, has this happened before as far as an entity trying to sue social media companies? I know that they've testified. The companies have testified in front of Congress as far as we all know those viral moments of do you promise to regulate Finsta? Sir, Finsta is not a product. It is a colloquial term for people who have a fake Instagram account, but he just could not wrap his head around.
Oh God, our leaders are so dumb sometimes.
And so I know that there's more opportunity for lawmakers to try to regulate big tech. But I just don't understand how this lawsuit would work beyond the fact that we're talking about it right now.
I think that, okay, so I have two points of thing. Like, one, there's the side of me that just says, I don't think anyone sued all the tech companies like in this type of fashion. I don't think it's going to go very far. I think, like you said, they have a bunch of lawyers. They actually have written law and protections within the U.S. codes to take care of that. But also, the other side of me says, all right, this could start the conversation. And going back with what I was talking about with Rachel when I asked her the question, which is, yeah, you're going after TikTok about Chinese communist influence, but we're looking at a piece of legal documentation here that's saying we believe that these companies are harmful towards children. What are you going to do about it now? Will you do something about that? Will you take some of the protections away? Will you suggest legislation that will protect children more? That's my whole thing, is that we say we care about the kids, and now we have some documentation from schools, from counselors, from all sorts of experts who work with children saying, we believe this is a problem. What can our lawmakers do then to say, we're hearing you, we got you, let's try something? And, you know, we'll still go after TikTok for being Chinese and bad and scary. You know what I mean? I don't think it has much standing, honestly.
I don't think it has much standing either.
Yeah.
And it is interesting to think, is there any amount of pressure or lawsuits that could change the internal practices of these big tech companies?
I think they'll just get around it. Because in the interview, in the story, they interviewed representatives from most of these companies. And they're like, we have them in place. We're taking care of it. They're just going to always say the same thing. They're just going to keep saying, I'm right on top of that, Rose. And then they'll think they have something. And they'll,
because what do you actually do? You, like, in their control, do you just have an age limit? And, like, but that you can obviously get around. We talked about last week in Louisiana, you now have to, speaking because of
that. I saw this one.
Yeah, at Louisiana, you have to put your ID in order to access porn sites now.
Which... sorry, but it made me think of the voter ID thing where it's like, what if people who don't have a driver's license, how can they vote? If I don't have a driver's license in Louisiana, I can't look at porn. That's un-American. Come on.
All right. That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
But so let's say a pie in the sky type of idea. Let's say,
like, what would actually protect children from the darker sides of social media?
From the darker sides of social media, if we're taking like the cyberbullying out of it, because they did mention cyberbullying, but I feel like it was more about the ads and what kids are seeing as far as accounts. If you register as one of those users as a child, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, whatever, how much money would they lose if all underage accounts? Now, granted, I understand that kids can get away from that. They can whatever. If they register with their parents as an underage account, there are no ads. You just, you know what I mean? Like, how much money would
we all sign up for that? And then we would never have to see these ads.
But then if you want to look at naughty accounts, you have to put in your driver's license. You're right. I would sign up as, oh, that
I
sounds
like this topic,
dirty.
Though.
That
so sounds if you, dirty. If you're listening right now, 844-967-2789. Text or call 844-967-2789. What idea do you have that could make social media safer for kids? That's realistic.
Yeah, don't say take them all away.
Yes. And I think there's some side, there's arguments as far as the parents' role. And I know that there's more and more people who are, you know, bribing basically their kids to stay off social media until... they are 18, or they only get their kid a flip phone instead of a smartphone. And there's ways that on the parent side and even school side, as you said, the responsibility of schools, like, you can't have your phone in school. But as far as on the social media company side, what could they be doing if they were being earnest about it and they were saying, we are actually trying to solve this, what do you think would actually curb the problem?
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting. Of underage accounts don't have ads. It doesn't really help with cyberbullying. It doesn't help with the comparison of what is real life versus online life and
predators.
Predator, yeah. And it doesn't help with predators being able to target kids. Unless you just have a completely different profile of how, you know, that those accounts exist on the platform, if you say, and you have to self, but you still have to self-report, right? Mm-hmm. As far as I am underage.
Yeah. Well, and that's, yeah, that comes to more of a conversation with your parents when, like, I'm thinking about the kids who are, like, getting their phones when they're 10, 11. I mean, some kids, I know, get them when they're younger, but I'm thinking about, like, kids between the ages of, like, 10 and 15. They're in that middle school, high school range. They're getting new privileges from their parents. All right, I want a Facebook account. Well, no 12-year-old wants a Facebook account.
That's true.
Oh, my God. Sorry about that, kids.
I looked at my analytics the other day. I looked at my analytics across different platforms the other day.
Yeah.
And on Facebook, like, my biggest age range of people who watch and listen and are, like, subscribed to the Facebook page is, like, 35 to 45, which is, like, the age I am, so that makes sense. And then the next one is, like, 55, whatever. But, like, the 14 to 25 is so small. And I'm like, is that because of my content or just because they're not on Facebook anymore?
I think it's because they're not on Facebook. They're not politically engaged as much as older people are. And also, you're just not dancing enough, kiddo.
Clearly not.
Tall potatoes. You got to put those gams out there. But do the shaky leg thing. I don't know what they call it. But, you know. But, yeah,
I'm no Charli D'Amelio. That is correct.
What is that now?
You don't even know who that is.
No.
I just think, going back to whose responsibility is it and how can we make it safer? It's going to go back to the parents.
Yeah.
It is.
And the thing is, go ahead.
I can't tell you the number of times when I see the parents on their phones ignoring their children who are trying to get their attention.
Oh, I mean, the downtimes I've gone to restaurants where you see three, four people in a family at that table just on their phones.
All on their phones.
And live your life. It's your decision. It's freedom, whatever, America, you rah-rah CMH. I don't know. The point is that, like, it also is like, don't you ever want to talk to your family? Like, why even bother? Just order out and go to your room. I don't know. It's just, it seems like such a waste of time and money to go out to a restaurant if you're not even going to talk and engage. But that kind of then ties in a little bit to what we were talking about with regard to the UWM conservative-led symposium at the Great Wolf in the White Wolf Room. You know, we're trying to engage parents, but I feel like those groups are trying to engage parents to get angry and fearful and whip up fake outrage, and that influences votes. But I feel like what if we came together with a plan for kids, like the teachers and the parents, and said we want to, like, protect kids. I know it's tough. It's hundreds of millions of people involved in this plan. But, like, there has to be an equal engagement between teachers and students and parents and taking responsibility.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're going to keep talking about this through the break. So if you have thoughts, 844-967-2789. Specifically, I'm more interested because I think we talk about what's the role of parents and schools and the people who are in the lives of kids and putting controls on social media. But what is the responsibility of these companies, and what could actually work as far as limitations on these accounts, on these platforms that could work? 844-967-2789. Give us your thoughts. This is Ask Goes Wisconsin.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said,
a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 45. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tonight, lows around 33. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, highs level off around 36. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Friday, with daytime highs approaching 30. 34 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
I say my hell is the closet, I'm stuck inside. Can't see the light. And my heaven is a nice house in the sky. Got central heating, and I'm alright.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is here. Jay Manair is on the board, and we are taking your suggestions at 844-967-2789 on what you think big tech companies could actually do to protect kids who are using their platforms. I'm not sure we've cracked it yet.
First, they got to care about kids, and I'm not convinced.
Yeah, that is fair.
Kids over profits.
Yeah.
Because is there an argument to just not allow kids on, like, as a platform, like, you cannot be under 18 and use this? I think that would never happen.
I don't think it would ever happen. I don't think it needs to be
that draconian.
I don't think, you know, honestly, I'm surprised there aren't some lawmakers who haven't tried to do that already. Maybe there are. They just never got a committee. But the point is like, I think there are ways of doing it, but it's going to eat into their bottom line. Therefore, they don't have to do it because they're protected and they can just send out a press release saying, we believe in the utmost, the highest quality of services while also protecting our children and making sure that they don't. They don't. They don't need to. They don't need
to. And it's so funny because I feel like on the bigger entity, like individually, if you talk to people who work at these companies, they say they would.
Yeah.
Right. But as far as what their incentives are, what they're measured on, what the company is measured on, it just doesn't, that value or that emotion or that feeling does not get baked into what they get paid to do.
Yeah. It's a profit company. It's a profit-driven company. It's got shareholders and all those other things. And, you know, I mean, it's not in their bottom line best interest as a company to take the consideration.
To limit who can be on there.
Well, not even to limit who can be on there, but also just, I mean, let's not, like, yes, we're talking about children, but let's not forget the fact that there are hundreds of millions of adults on there who are also being affected mentally by the ads and the accounts they see too. I mean, I'm not trying to take away from how it affects children. It also affects adults. And they don't care either way. They don't have to care. And the problem is like, there are things happening every day. Rachel talked about it. There are things happening every day through their pipeline from buyer to customer to all those things that are affecting people, and still nothing's being done.
It's interesting. We started the Bernie Madoff docuseries last night on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's good. But it's also a reminder, I mean, one, that it sounds like he was a fraud from the beginning, which is wild. Yeah. And two, how heavily regulated finance is and Wall Street is, mm-hmm. as far as the entire departments that are dedicated to, like, you have to register, you have to do all this stuff to be able to, like, because you're in charge of people's money, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And it's wild to think, because that didn't always exist, right? Like, that's something that was over time, these regulations and these departments and the things that were there to protect people that were trying to invest money from people who could take advantage of people developed, right? And it's interesting to think in a world 30, 40, maybe not even that long, where big tech, which is so unregulated right now, but is so profitable and is so, I mean, way more people are on social media than investing in the stock market.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so the potential for regulatory systems to be set up for these things, like, is there ever going to be a world where that happens?
I think in order for that to happen, the people who are in charge of making the laws have to become smarter than they are as a whole.
Or younger.
Yeah. I don't think everybody who serves in Washington or at state level is dumb, but I think, once again, going back to what Rachel said, when you explain legislation, explain ideas, instead of being like, oh, yeah, we're trying to protect kids. Oh, we're trying to protect people. They go to the other side and go, well, are you trying to legalize prostitution? That's not what we said at all. Mm-hmm. So they don't go for it. So we either have to have younger and or smarter people in Washington to listen to these ideas and put forth legislation that does regulate these huge companies. I mean, there's nothing new. I mean, you get out of finance or out of big tech, there's other major companies that are regulated. This is not new. We can regulate the big tech companies. It will barely affect their bottom line, in my opinion, I think. And if it does, it's going to be a couple tens of millions? Oh, no. Oh, no, you only make $100 billion this year. Oh, no.
It's like Elon losing $200 billion and still being the second richest person in the world.
Nothing makes me happier than when that man is looking stupid.
Get another verse to that?
Second verse, same as the first. I totally off topic. I'll make it very, very quick. I watched The Big Bang Theory from start to finish, 12 seasons. Wow, that's a lot.
How many episodes is that?
That's 200 and some odd, 240.
I don't think I've ever watched a full episode of The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, it's so fun. You just dive into it. It's they're 18 minute episodes a piece. It's fun.
Is that all a sitcom is? I thought it was 22 minutes.
It's 22, but I think it's for them, it's like between 18 and 19 because they have like 24 episodes per season instead of 22. So I think that's the difference. That was my theory, but I am not a scientist.
That's like a long sketch. That's not even that long.
Sometimes they're too long, but but like Elon Musk, there's a lot of great cameos on that show.
Musk was on that show?
He was on that show in an episode where they were like helping at a food kitchen, and he walks in, and one of the people on the show is complaining about it, and he walks in saying like, isn't this great what we're doing? We're helping people. And I'm like, where is that Elon Musk? He's just so nice and kind. That Elon Musk would be beaten to death by new Elon Musk. He'd be put into a cyber truck and sent off of a mountain. I have so many opinions on Elon Musk. I could talk about him for days.
Elon doesn't need to put him in a truck. He just needs to put him in a Tesla.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's the Tesla stock doing? Is that rebounded yet?
Well, there was just another crash in San Francisco with a self-driving Tesla that stopped on the freeway and caused an 8-car pileup.
It's up today, 3.42%.
In the middle of all that rain. Did the rain make it stop? That is wild. This is totally off topic. But what is wild to me is the unbelievable storms that California is getting, and yet it's not making a dent in their drought. That is wrapping your head around that as far as it's, you know, partially because the reservoirs can't hold this amount of rain. So it's just going back to the ocean. So it's not like they can even store the amount of water to be able to help mitigate how bad the drought is. And I've just been checking with my friends that live there. I was like, you okay, dude? Because it looks
it's
horrendous.
Apocalyptic.
Yes.
It really absolutely is. I did see something that said, though, that this same storm system is dropping a lot of snow in the mountains. So when the spring thaw comes, some of those reservoirs might actually get filled.
To have And I'm sure people who are going to Mammoth are very happy. Skiers and snowboarders.
I know what that means. Mammoth?
It's a mountain.
I didn't.
People ski there.
What's skiing?
God, okay. We're taking another break. When we come back, we're going to do some fun things with the Golden Globes. We're going to play some speeches that we liked. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. To say so much, to say so much, to say so
much, to say so much. ¿Te tiene agobiado tu trabajo? ¿Sueñas con una carrera profesional donde puedas ganar más dinero y te sientas apreciado? Si tu respuesta es afirmativa, entonces Sigma Castings, una división de Sigma Engineered Solutions en Marquesan y Jackson, es tu respuesta. son más que una empresa. Son una familia de expertos dedicados que abarcan continentes. Te harán sentir apreciado de muchas maneras. Por ejemplo, el nivel básico de pago es de $18 por hora con revisiones periódicas de rendimiento. Después de los primeros 90 días de empleo, tendrás derecho a 80 horas de vacaciones más 11 feriados pagados. Aún más, ganarías un bono de $2,000 por permanecer en tu puesto. Te ofrecen un paquete de beneficios robusto, con primas bajas y excelente cobertura, y su plan de retiro 401k te va a impresionar. Se está contratando ahora para el primer turno, lunes a viernes, de 5 de la mañana a 2 de la tarde. Empieza tu nueva carrera ya con Sigma Castings en Murchison y Jackson. Encuéntralos en Indeed o llama a 920-260-8560 y levántate en la mañana feliz de ir al trabajo.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.